This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Journey to My Soul, Following Divine Navigation. And the author is Terry Lynn, and Terry joins us now on Indie Book Publishing. This interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Terry.
Hello, Steve.
Well, thank you for being with us. We're going to talk about happiness and the journey that we all need to decide to take, I guess is the best way to describe it. You say this about your book: my book is my personal journey through the depths of sadness that demonstrates how the power of God works through us. This is a true life rags to riches story that relates the power of prayer to a navigation system in a car. With faith, love, prayer, gratitude, and positive action, I changed my world. Well, you have gone down that road, haven't you?
Yes, I have, Steve. And I have. It's been my experience that life does work like a navigation system. Having been in the car business for 25 years, I tend to relate things to that. And that's how I go back and look at my life and see how I've been directed.
So did your life just seem to fall apart, and then you fell apart, and you finally, how did you realize that you were responsible?
Well, it took a while for it to hit me, but I made a decision during my divorce that was guided through prayer. I made a decision that was the best choice for my children. And then years later, about 4 years later, that decision brought me some consequences that I was not prepared for. My two young sons, they were about between 7 and 9, moved away with their dad. And about 2 hours away, and I just couldn't believe it. My life was shattered. The only thing I've ever wanted from the time I was a child was to be a mom and a homemaker. So I was devastated, and I kept looking to God to fix it because I know that I was guided to make that decision. And it took a couple years for my life to unravel. I wanted to die. I didn't want to face the next 10 years of pain and grief and living every day with that burden. I couldn't leave my sons with a suicidal mother, so I prayed for death and fully expected it to happen because my prayers have always been answered from the time I was a child. But living with no will to live, living with waiting for death, I can't even say it was living, I was waiting for death, my life unspiraled and just got more out of control until I got to the point where I got the message that you need to live. And then I was lost. And I had to surrender to God, and day by day, I got through it.
So often we have to go through these depths, don't we? This despair and absolutely no, looks like there's no way out in order to finally see that there is a way out.
Yeah, and you know what? As humans, we tend to try to avoid the pain. And the truth is, you've got to walk through the pain to what I call the positive side of pain.
The positive side of pain. Now, explain what that is.
It's after you walk through. I see pain as a catalyst that changes us. We're forced to change. And once you get through the pain, it's like the rainbow appears, the positive side of pain.
So pain is just part of the journey to happiness. Often we get caught up in that and we get stuck in it.
Right. Well, we try to avoid it. We try everything not to look at it, to take painkillers, whatever. But the truth is, you can't get to the other side unless you walk through it.
So happiness, really, this quest for happiness is really the only journey, the only road to happiness. I mean, it may seem out of reach, but it's always there. It was always there for you, but it took you a while to realize this. And how did that realization come about?
Oh, well, that's a long story, but basically my life spiraled out of control. Many things happened that just like put me to the edge. And I either had to, I don't know, I either had to kill myself or turn around and walk the other way. And I chose to walk the, I chose to walk through the pain. And once I realized that, you know, there is no miracle that's gonna fix this, because that's what I was looking for. I just kept waiting and waiting and waiting for something to change. And I realized I had to change myself.
You were extremely frustrated, disappointed, maybe outraged. You were angry. I mean, it was...
I had all those emotions, and I had to work through every one of them. Now, this was, you know, 30 years ago. I guess about 25, 26 years ago is when I started working through it all. And so, it wasn't until I got to this point and through meditation and working through blocks that I didn't even know I had is when I got this bird's eye view of my whole life, and I just saw how divine navigation guided me right through everything.
Think happy, be happy. It sounds so simple. It's not, but it is the key.
Think happy, be happy. That was the original working title of my book, because that is what I had to do. I had to train my brain to focus on anything that was around me that gave me comfort, made me feel good, and I just had to fight out the thoughts of, you know, my son's not here. You know, the first thing in the morning I would wake up and it's like, oh, what are they doing? Are they okay? And I just had to push that out of my mind and just think, I'm right here. And I played silly games with my mind just to keep my thoughts occupied from going down that road. Because I know if I went deeper down that road, my day was ruined and I wouldn't function very well.
How important is gratitude, which is very difficult when you're in a lot of pain, but how important is that to pull us out of the pain?
Gratitude is the key to a happy life. And feelings, the feeling of gratitude and just being grateful for, you know, the body you have, the air we breathe. As simple as that, if there's nothing to be grateful for, be grateful for the air you breathe. It's the feeling of gratitude that multiplies the goodness in your life.
And of course, this is another directive by you, and help us understand, because it sounds so right, but at the same time, it sounds so challenging. You say, do whatever it takes to get into the positive state.
Yes. And again, it takes practice. It's like athletes practice every day to get their game right. And if you're in a situation where you're depressed or, you know, you're living with circumstances that you didn't like, I was living with circumstances I hate it. I just hated it. But I couldn't live that way. I could still be sitting in that pile of sadness had I not taken positive action. So it's a training of the brain. You have to concentrate on putting positive thoughts in. And if you don't have any of your own, grab somebody else's. There's plenty of positive books out there. But you have to find something and just keep positive. Keep a positive focus and keep going.
It's a discovery of your own power, as you put it.
Exactly. The power to be happy is in our own hands. It's a choice. It's a decision. In the book by Neil Donald Walsh, which is A Conversation with God, he wrote, in communion with God, the decision to be happy creates the experience of being happy. And that's the truth. We need to decide to be happy and then do whatever it takes.
So whatever world we're living in, and we're talking about this world of our mind, our emotions, whatever world we're living in, we're creating it. Nobody else is forcing us to be there, even though we like to blame others, don't we?
Yes. What we think about, we bring about. Ah. It's as simple as that.
Very well said. What we think about, we bring about.
Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite lines is, what we look for in life affects what we see.
So it's all perspective.
Mm-hmm. If you look for love in the world, you can find it everywhere. If you look for hate in the world, you can find that too.
So it's not, you know, we talk a lot, our thinking and our attitude, are they the same, or it's easy to say these words, but to really get it into our daily process of thinking and doing, I guess it's the doing too.
It's everything. It's thought, word, and deed all together, but it begins with a thought. And your feelings are a great litmus. If you're not feeling good, then go to your thoughts. What are you thinking about? You're thinking about what you can't have or what you've missed in the past. We're thinking about the future or the past. To get into a positive state, you need to think right here in the moment. Be grateful for the air you breathe or anything around you and concentrate on that. It's a matter of survival, living happy. So we were created. I believe we were created to be happy.
I agree. I think everyone would agree with that, though so many struggle to find happiness. And like you say, often resort to, you know, use of other things to kind of self-medicate because they're so unhappy.
Right. To avoid the pain.
Right.
It's what we were, you know, it's how I was raised. I think it's how most of us are. It's just human nature. We want to avoid the pain.
So a lot of meditation and prayer. That's so important.
Well, meditation has changed my life. You know, I think for everyone needs to find out what their road to happiness is, what makes them happy. But I do believe inside each of us lies the answers that we search for.
Now, you're known as Fortune Cookie. Why do people call you Fortune Cookie?
One of my coworkers gave me that a few years back, and mainly because I always put a positive spin on things. You know, many things happen. The car business is very stressful, as many jobs are. And one day, one of my coworkers said, okay, Fortune Cookie, put a positive spin on this one. And when that nickname came to me, it just lit a fire in me that I had to go and write. And immediately I started doing a daily Fortune Cookie through emails and sent it to people. And but that wasn't enough. I needed to do more.
And thus this book.
Mm-hmm. And I do have a Facebook page called Think Happy, Be Happy, where I do a daily Fortune Cookie.
Very good. And also your website is?
www.thinkhappybehappy.com.
Well, it's a journey to my soul, following divine navigation. I guess the key is to, when it's easy to say that, it's important not only to listen for and to see this path, but it's to follow it. It's to take action.
Yes, and you know, so many people that I run into are unhappy, but they don't know what they want. In order to get directions, it's just like a car. You need to have the engine running, first of all, but you need to have a destination set. You need a goal in life before you can get direction. And so many people do not know what they want. And that's key. You need to have a goal. And then, of course, you need to keep, you know, everything moving and follow the direction. And the direction comes from within, your emotions, your feelings, thoughts. You will be guided if you listen.
And you were guided to write this book.
I absolutely was.
We've been listening to Terry Lynn. She is the author of her book, Journey to My Soul, Following Divine Navigation. Terry, tell us how to get your book.
My book is available at Balboa Press Bookstore or Amazon.com. Or you can go to my website, www.thinkhappybehappy.com.
Thank you so much, Terry, for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
Thank you, Steve.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Balboa Press.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Get ready to live La Bella Vita with Dawn Catherine. On TogiNet.com, live La Bella Vita. If you're wanting to know all the beauty tricks of the trade and the latest fashion trends before everyone else, this is your show. If you admire celebrities' beauty and their fashion sense, this is your show. Do you love wine and want to know more about the process it takes to make wine from the vine to the bottle? This is your show. Live La Bella Vita. For more on the show and your host, check out our website, labellavitacosmetico.com. This is the kind of show you can sink your teeth into. If you enjoy traveling and food and family, all with an Italian flair, then you can live La Bella Vita with your host, Dawn Catherine. Wednesday nights at midnight, 11 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com. Mark Lipinski is coming to TogiNet. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, a live two-hour show Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet.com. Creative Mojo. It's fun, entertaining, informative, inspirational, and illuminating. Lipinski has worked on such shows as Oprah, The View, The Joan Rivers Show, and Ricky Lake. He's busy, but he's got the drive to share with Creative Mojo, dedicated to the modern crafter and crafting lifestyle. Dive into the info and enjoy everything from celebs to entertainment news to recipes, quilting and needlework, knitting, painting, woodworking, Christmas crafts, and so much more. This show boldly encourages you to discover and harness your own creative spirit by living creatively every day. For more on Mark and the show, check out marklipinski.com. Don't miss the fun. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on toginet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Willie's World, 52 Fabulously Funny Christian Puppet Skits. And the puppeteer and the creator and the author of his book, Tom Smith. And Tom joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Crossbooks. Hello, Tom.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Well, very creative work here. Obviously, a lot of years going into the making of this collection of Christian puppet skits. We'll find out about that in a moment. I just wanted to read a couple things you've written. You call this Willie's World a collection of Christian puppet skits written to encourage young boys and girls to carry God's word in their hearts, and by doing so, they will be better equipped to face those trials and temptations that will surely come their way. So that is the overall goal, and it sounds like you're really accomplishing that goal. Tom, congratulations.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit how this all came about, a little bit about yourself, how you've kind of found your niche.
Well, in 1997, I was serving on the Sunday School Curriculum Committee of the small church where I was attending, and we wanted to do something special for our Easter service that year, and someone suggested maybe doing a puppet skit. I don't think it was me that suggested it, but I felt that it was something that I might be able to do, so I volunteered. And over the next few weeks, I wrote a simple skit on the resurrection of Christ. And when Easter morning arrived, I had purchased a couple small hand puppets and put together a cardboard stage and got a couple college students to help me out. And we performed our first Willie's World skit. And it was quite successful, so much so that I was asked to do something the following week. And 10 years later, I was still doing the puppet skits.
10 years later. Wow.
Right.
So thus, this collection, and how did you come up with this character, Willie?
Willie, someone has called him my alter ego. I think probably I grew up during the golden age of television, and we had characters like Dennis the Menace and Leave It to Beaver and comedies like I Love Lucy, and I think it was maybe a combination of those kind of Alfalfa from the Little Rascals. I think there's a mix of all of those characters in my Willie.
So you have a bit of slapstick in this, in these skits?
Right, lots of slapstick. I always like to do the unexpected. I like to have a serious lesson that comes wrapped in a fun package, and slapstick is definitely a big part of that.
Now, you also, Willie's grandpa plays an important part in this.
Right. Willie's grandpa is, he's pretty much the wise Santa Claus figure in the book, always getting Willie out of trouble. He came to live with Willie and his family after his wife died, which enables us to get into skits about heaven and that sort of issue. And Willie's grandpa often goes fishing with Willie, and they discuss a lot of things.
And then there's, as you call her, the delightful Miss Pickles.
Right. That's one of my favorite characters. She's the teacher of Willie and all of his friends. And Willie has a tendency to like to play pranks on Miss Pickles.
And every week, Willie is learning, but he usually has to learn the hard way.
Indeed, he does. I guess that's the way it is with a lot of children. You've got to see it to believe it. And Willie manages to do just about everything he's not supposed to do. But by the end of the skit, he realizes that if he had perhaps listened more to his Sunday school teacher when he was growing up and applied some of the truths of Scripture to his life, he wouldn't have such a rocky road.
Yeah, he could spare himself a whole lot of trouble, I guess, huh?
Indeed.
So through these skits, as you say, children will be taught valuable lessons to help strengthen their faith and better prepare them for life's long and often difficult journey. What are some of the lessons, like in general? What are some of the principles that you're teaching?
Well, I always felt that God's Word, and I know this isn't an original thought, but it's like our roadmap through life, and the more that we study it and learn it and carry it in our hearts, the better we'll be equipped to maneuver through the obstacles that life throws our way. So if a child goes into a candy store, perhaps, and sees a piece of candy and thinks, maybe I could put that candy in my pocket and no one would ever know. But if he has God's Word in his heart, he might be able to draw from that well of knowledge, and he could remember, thou shalt not steal. Or he could remember, be sure of this, your sin will find you out. And it's having that kind of knowledge in your heart and in your mind that would prevent you from doing the things that you know you're not supposed to do. So Willie learns all kind of lessons. And I guess I'll give you some examples of those as we get further on into the interview.
Exactly. We're looking forward to hearing some of the ones in detail. In fact, why don't we take time out right now and share one of them with us?
Okay. In one particular skit titled I'm a Puppet, Willie, he's doing a high five with his friend Sammy, and while doing the high five, he notices that he has an arm rod on his arm. And he asks Sammy, well, why do I have this arm rod? And Sammy says, well, they put those on all puppets. And Willie, to his amazement, he didn't realize he was a puppet. And if I can go ahead and use my puppet voice now, because...
Please.
Willie says, I'm a puppet? I can't be a puppet. I'm a real-life little boy. And he's really bothered by this. And Sammy says, oh, no, I thought you knew. And Willie goes out to the corner, and he starts crying. And pretty soon, Susie comes along and sees Willie crying, and she says, Sammy, what's the matter with Willie? And Sammy says, well, he's in denial. And Susie says, oh, no, you didn't tell him that he was a puppet, did you? And he said, yes, I did. And so Susie decides to go comfort Willie, and she goes over and she pats him on the shoulder and says, there now, are you feeling better? And of course I'm not feeling better. I just found out I was a puppet. Did you know we were puppets? And she says, well, yes, girl puppets usually find out these things sooner than boy puppets do. And then this skit goes on to become a skit about self-worth. And the scripture verse that I use in that is Psalm 139:13-14, where the Bible says that God knits us together in our mother's womb. And I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And through the skit, Willie will come to understand that boys and girls are created in God's image and that they're all unique and special and loved by God. And he'll come to understand that those boys and girls will grow up and they'll make puppets and they'll sew them and they'll knit them and give them eyes and they'll be created in the image of boys and girls. And so he'll come to accept the fact that he's a puppet as we get to the end of this kit, and he'll say, well, I guess I am wonderfully made. I mean, I can't deny my good looks.
That's just fantastic. It's just I could just feel it come alive as you, especially added the voice. Now, the big question: did you ever make mistakes or forget your lines during a performance?
Oh yes, and that usually turns out to be the best part of the skit.
When you happen to ad lib, huh?
Right. So I got to tell future puppeteers just to be spontaneous and to not worry about slip-ups and goofs, because those things happen, and it's good to do the unexpected, even pull stunts on your fellow puppeteers or we've got one skit where Willie's hand comes up and he begins talking, but he forgets to put the puppet over his hand, so then he's embarrassed and says, "Oh, I can't believe I forgot my outer me."
And the kids probably really enjoy when you kind of make fun of the whole thing.
Right. Yeah, they really like that. And you want to do things that don't be afraid to let your puppets get a little wet or a little dirty. It all comes out in the wash. And some of my skits will use someone will get a pie in the face maybe because it's a shaving cream pie, so it cleans off easily. I use squirt guns in some of my skits, and occasionally the audience becomes a target. So, you know, they're just going to have to come to expect it. But that does make it memorable. And if the children are still talking about your skits 2 or 3 weeks after you've done them, then you know you've done it right.
That's for sure. And your skits are laid out by the month?
Right. I did this. There are 52 skits, and they're arranged according to the calendar year. This will help a new puppeteer or a fledgling puppet ministry to have material to get them through an entire year. I always had trouble when I began doing my skits to find enough material to get me through a year, and I've discovered after speaking to church ministries and groups and Sunday school leaders, that quite often they've had to cut their puppet ministry short or failed to even get them off the ground for lack of good material. So there are 52 skits, and they're all arranged according to the calendar year, so you're going to find a Valentine's skit in February and a Mother's Day skit in May and a Columbus Day skit in October, and enough to get you through the entire year. And then by the time you get through the first year, then you'll be ready for Willie's World 2.
Willie's World 2, which is about to be released?
I hope to send it to the publishers in a couple of weeks.
And that is got the title of Wonderfully Wacky Christian Puppet Skits.
Right, and that book will deal with some of the more current issues of the day, such as I have a skit on bullying. I have a skit on texting and driving, only in Willie's case it's texting while riding his bike, and he comes in contact with a telephone pole.
Well, it sounds in best way I can describe it, is remarkable that you could be, especially you've done 200 of them, over 200 Christian puppet skits, and of course now you're releasing your second collection. Now, tell us about Megan, the girl whose memory your book is dedicated to.
Okay. Megan was a young girl who used to attend the church where I was performing skits, and she would watch them and really seem to enjoy them. And she and her family moved away. And about 6 or 8 months after they moved away, I signed up to go on a mission trip to Brazil. And it wasn't long after that I got a call from Megan's mother informing me that they also were going to go on that trip. And she wondered if it might be possible for us to take some puppets along. And possibly as we went door to door in Brazil or walked the streets, that we might be able to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to children using puppets. And it seemed like a really great idea. So I said, I'll take a couple puppets and Megan can take a couple. And when we got together in Brazil with the group that we were going over there with, we made plans the next day to go door to door and take puppets. As it turned out, it was the time of the year that school was in session, so we weren't finding any children at home or on the streets, and we thought, well, perhaps maybe that wasn't such a good idea after all. But the Lord has a way of working out things. We were allowed to go into the schools and to personally invite children in numerous schools to attend a huge puppet show that we would be performing on a particular night that week. And on that night, I think there were probably 500 or 600 people who attended. The Lord provided us with a stage and amplification and everything that we would need. We did a skit that was, we closed with a skit that was called Being Good, and it was a skit about good works and how they're important and how they're required, but that they don't save us, that it's one good work of Jesus Christ on the cross that we need to look to. And at the close of that skit, we gave an invitation for anyone who wanted to come forward and to accept Jesus Christ, and nearly 200 children came. So it was just a wonderful evening, and I couldn't have done it without Megan. She and her mother were the two main puppets and helpers in that presentation. We returned home at the end of the week, and we said our goodbyes. And then perhaps a year and a half later, Megan and her mother and father would be killed in a horrific traffic accident, along with two other individuals in another car. And I felt at that time that if I did publish this book, I would want to dedicate it to her memory in part, and in part to my daughter.
My goodness. Well, Willie's World, 52 fabulously funny Christian puppet skits. And we've been listening to the creator, the puppeteer, and the master of the skit world, Tom Smith. Well, Tom, tell us how to get your book.
Well, it's available at crossbooks.com. It's also available, I think, at barnesandnobles.com and amazon.com. And I have autographed copies on eBay if someone wants to look there. So I guess it's out there. You just got to look for it.
Well, so great to have you with us on Indie Book Publishing, Tom. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And this interview has been brought to you by Crossbooks.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Get ready to laugh along with This Little Parent Stayed Home with Ali Loprete. Friday evenings at 6, 5 Central on TogiNet.com. This is a truly realistic, no-nonsense, tell-it-like-it-is method that will have you laughing and crying, surviving while struggling, and hammering away at the hardships as you travel through the greatest journey of your life. Get empowered by joining thousands of other parents who have also decided to take a leap of faith into a double career with longer hours and half the pay simply because of the love they have for their children. Together, we are rebuilding a new economy that will support us rather than enslave us. Never again will we have to choose between raising our children and earning to provide for them. It won't be easy, but it will be worth it. For more on Allie and her success, check out her website, OurMilkMoney.com. So come get empowered with This Little Parent Stayed Home with Allie Loprete, Friday afternoons at 6, 5 Central on TogiNet.com.
People think I've made it. I'm popular. I seem happy all the time. I have great clothes and I'm involved in everything. But I have questions, doubts, and fears, just like every other teenager. That's why I'm glad for Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 Central on TogiNet.com.
The choices we have to make that can alter the course of our lives. Life is too much pressure if we try to go it alone. I tune in to Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell every week to get reminded that I'm not alone. Nicole Odell is an expert on what happens in the lives of teenagers. Join her as she deals with topics like peer pressure, purity, drugs, alcohol, and many other things that might come up along the way. She writes books and speaks to people all over the place, but she says her favorite moments are when she can pull up a chair and chat with teens about what's important to us.
For more information on Nicole and her books, go to NicoleOdell.com. Then join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 Central on TogiNet.com.
Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, The Innkeeper's Wife, And the author is Muriel Drake Ryan. And Muriel joins us now on Indie Book Publishing. This interview brought to you by Westbow Press. Hello, Muriel.
Hi. Good morning, Steve.
Feels like I've got to say Merry Christmas. I mean, kind of early for that, but your book is certainly going to take us there, going to take us to that great night of the birth of the Savior, done in a very, very unique way. So let's see. The Innkeeper's Wife is a story that you say came to you as a vision. You imagine what it must have been like inside the inn with no room, and what the family that owned the inn, what they went through, and of course they were living their lives, and maybe there's an unbeliever in that family, and we'll find out about the innkeeper's wife. So, Muriel, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself and how all this came about.
Well, I have spent most of my working life working in education as a teacher and a principal and an educator to graduate students. And one thing came that I elected to not do that full time. I found that I couldn't quit teaching. And one year during the Christmas season, I was sitting in church and watching a charming and adorable traditional children's pageant. And I got to thinking, now, how could this story be told so that some of the children could be cast beyond having 99 angels and 103 shepherds? As charming as that is, there were more people there. And when I tend to dwell on something that makes me reflect, sometimes God will literally give me a dream. And I got to dreaming about what it must have been in that village. And as God would eventually lead me to work with the homeless, even made me reflect on the fact that Christ was born homeless. And if it not had not been for the innkeeper, we don't know where they would have had a roof over their head, of any kind of roof. And so that's where the innkeeper's wife came from.
What age group would you say this is best for?
Well, in reality, I do, Steve, carry my license as a reading specialist, and I would recommend this for later third grade up through fifth grade, an opportunity to read it on their own. It's a fairly quick read, about 30-some pages, but I didn't cheat on the vocabulary, so it's a little more advanced, except for the most advanced first and second graders. But I think it still lends itself to being a good, which is one of my favorite ways to share books, grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, those who care about children, sitting down and reading it with and going through. The whole book, after read by an adult, could be told again by reflecting on the pictures.
Right, the great illustrations, yes. Yeah, it's very, it kind of just takes you there. I mean, you know, we imagine that time, Bethlehem, with an inn, very simple way of life back then. And so it cast that kind of a, just the perfect image.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to do was to pull in this very traditional Jewish village, the city of David, and pull in a perspective that reflected on if I'm Jewish and I'm looking for the Messiah, what is my reaction going to be? In fact, I was blessed at one point as I was finishing up some of the details of having a rabbi read it and getting some of his input and made a few changes to some of the language to match what would be traditional Jewish reflections. So we tell the story of the Messiah coming, and at the same time we give honor to the fact that he was born out from the Jewish tradition.
And so we have Hannah and Aaron. Now tell us a little bit about their personalities.
Well, Aaron never saw a glass that wasn't half full, and Hannah never saw one that wasn't half empty. Aaron, by nature, is kind of happy, cheerful, bouncy, etc. Hannah, due to the fact that she's confronted with doing a lot of the labor there in the house with making the meals, Aaron helps her clean, but she sees work as her life direction. And she's really very uncomfortable with the fact that, you know, these Romans that have been such a burden in her life have now sent all these people who make a double burden that she has to care for during the census. The book can actually be read well beyond the holiday season because it does end up presenting the attitudes we select sometimes can set up a situation where it prevents us from being blessers of other people or prevents us from getting a blessing from God. And so Hannah's attitude kind of grumpy, but God helps her understand what his role was in this situation. And as you get to the end of the book, Hannah's learning more about herself for a moment, and we end with the idea that she is going to reflect longer on this infant.
And if we let our imagination run as we read your story, it does make some interesting points because of the so many who were caught up in the birth of the Savior and saw the star and saw angels and heard angels sing, and they probably would show up at the inn knocking on the door wondering, you know, where is he?
What's going on here?
where is the Messiah, of course, you know.
So, well, one of the other things, too, that I wanted to bring forth was, and there is a scene or two in it that reflects on Joseph's role in this. You know, you mentioned the shepherds and everything else that's in there. And this was quite a bit of disruption. This was not life as standard fare in Bethlehem. Joseph, this was the place of his roots. He went back to his to be counted with Mary, and suddenly there are things that are going on here in the village. There were things that happened before he got there, and oh my gosh, what is going on? So we give a little homage to Joseph and the challenges he faced, that he had to end up plowing through and plowing forward, doing God's will on faith rather than by sight.
Yeah, you even call it Joseph's ranting.
Yes. He does tend to let go when he perceives he's kind of sort of alone. In Jewish tradition, having Hannah there wouldn't preclude him from saying something. As he starts to talk to himself, Hannah begins to recognize the fact that she's not the only one, slightly disoriented, a little bit confused in what's going on. As much as God lays it out, periodically we as human beings will ask ourselves what's happening, why, and all kinds of things that are of human nature, and recognizing that God's in charge, but at the same time, this is real challenging to take on.
And it gives an opportunity to expand the Christmas story into lessons on today's issues. A lot of times kids hear these things in the news on a lot of things that are surrounding the place of the Savior's birth.
And I think that's one of the reasons I wrote it, so that it would come out with the holiday season. But at the same time, I'm absolutely convinced it could be a book read 12 months a year. It does speak to the issue of faith. It does speak to the issue of us being more sensitive as to the attitudes we present to others as well as the attitudes we offer God. And I think those are universal lessons, so the book, The Innkeeper's Wife, could be picked up 12 months of the year and there would still be something to get out of it.
And tell us about families by choice and how this is tied to the book.
Well, Families by Choice is an organization my husband and I picked up a challenge that God put in front of us and moved forward with about 6 years ago, recognizing the fact that God is our Father, our Heavenly Father. We did find within the community of my hometown that we moved back to 10 years ago persons that were without family, either geographically or emotionally. Either they had cut ties or the family had cut ties. And many of these people were homeless. So we originally started working with the homeless. And, of course, Christ was born homeless. Joseph and Mary didn't have the option to go back to Nazareth. They found themselves on the road to Egypt after they left Bethlehem. And so for all intents and purposes, Christ was born homeless. And we had persons that were homeless within our community, minus basic skills of developing a good shelter, having food and clothing. And again, we're at a distance from their family, and that's where Families by Choice came from. We choose to treat them as brothers and sisters, not some in Christ, some not yet in Christ, but the brothers and sisters. And also, Families by Choice has a different meaning. We want folks to recognize that God intends us to be living by making positive choices based on His values, based on His direction, and not live life by accident. Oops, I found myself doing things I shouldn't be doing. Well, we should be making choices. God gave us the capacity to make choices and free will, and we should be making positive choices based on His value to move our lives forward.
And Hannah eventually understands that for herself.
Yes, she clearly does. She clearly does. We do have some T-shirts that we've put with some of the original sales, and it says, "What's the matter with Hannah?" And I think that particular question is we... look at Hannah. I think that would make interesting table conversation after reading the story. And a little bit of time for self-reflection. What's the matter with me? Not that God doesn't love me as I am, but what is it that I could choose to do differently that would move me forward in being more positive? The other thing, too, is that all the proceeds for the sales of The Innkeeper's Wife go back to our work here that we hope to replicate in other communities to support housing, supplementary feeding programs, to take care of those that are without family. People need to be loved and need to feel like the family of God has come out of its four walls to embrace them. And just as Aaron embraced the Holy Family from the very beginning, we want to end up embracing folks who need our support.
We've been listening to Muriel Drake Ryan. She is the author of her book, The Innkeeper's Wife. Muriel, tell us how to get your book.
Well, I'm slightly amazed and feel duly blessed. Presently, it's on Amazon. .com, on BarnesandNoble.com, and is also available through BooksAMillion.com. And I would like to end up encouraging folks that if they want to write or get a hold of Families by Choice or want to directly order, they can send me their information on our Facebook page called Families by Choice. And or they could end up getting a hold of me through familiesbychoice@hotmail.com. We would be more than willing to supply that need and get the information out to them as to how to pick up a copy if it's not available to them locally.
Thank you so much for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
Thank you.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Westbo Press.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.